Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Crystal Clear. We're coming to you live from the free state of Florida, and we have a very special episode today because we're going to be discussing September 11th, 2001. But before we do, I want to thank my sponsors who make this show possible. So here's a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
America First Tactical is dedicated in offering you the very best safety, security, and self-defense products available today. In recent years, crime rates, increases in assault, robbery, and the defunding of the police have become a major concern for law-abiding citizens. The police can no longer respond, and you are responsible for you and your loved ones who may depend on you for safety. That's where we come in with tactical products for less. We have tasers, stun guns, self-defense keychains, pepper spray, batons, auto safety, knives, handcuffs, tactical bodywear, firearm holsters, and a whole lot more. For operator assistance, use promo code CRYSTAL for 10% off. Call 1-800-960-2015. That's 1-800-960-2015. America First Tactical. Peaceful Pond Place, making life a little sweeter. Simply go to pppsweets.com and enter in to our world of the sweetest of sweets and the finest of chocolates. Can't make up your mind? Give us a call at 360-584-0548. That's 360-584-0548. Life, Liberty, and Coffee. Liberty Beans Coffee Company. At Liberty Beans Coffee Company, there is an old proverb that we like to live by. It says, never underestimate the importance of being properly caffeinated. Here at Liberty Beans Coffee Company, not only do we believe in freedom and the American way, Jim and Diane invite you to check out their family-owned unlimited selection of delicious and delectable coffee beans that are crafted right here in the good old US of A. Not only is this the richest, most genuine cup of coffee, perhaps after you drink it, you will check out their website at www.libertybeans.com and join by partnering up with Jim and Diane to help you with either you or your favorite group's personally created fundraiser. Liberty Beans Coffee Company. Life, liberty, and coffee. Just drink it all in.
Thanks so much, everyone, for staying put. Some things in the news recently left me sort of scratching my head. It had been reported that Joe Biden will not be visiting any of the locations where the planes crashed and people died on 9/11. This is significant because Joe Biden will be the first president of the United States to do so. As if that wasn't enough, there's also more recent news that the Pentagon had been negotiating a plea deal with the mastermind of 9/11, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. There are also four others involved, also held at Gitmo, who may benefit from this. But if such a thing were to happen, a plea deal equals no trial, which means no death penalty for these people. So I want you to stop for a minute and just think about that. One of the architects of 9/11, the person who caused the deaths of thousands of innocent Americans who just woke up that morning and went to work. Well, in spite of the horrific manner of those deaths, the guy behind the scenes gets a plea deal and gets to live? What? Why in the name of God would anyone even consider it? Tell me, how is this fair to the families who lost loved ones? Guess what? You can't answer that, and you can't tell me it's fair because it isn't fair. Greta Van Susteren over at Newsmax was talking about this on her show a few nights ago, and she was speculating that the U.S. would do this perhaps because their case is possibly somehow over time weakened, or that certain evidence may be lacking, or our government just wants things that have been in the dark for more than 20 years to stay in the dark. No trial means more information about the possible involvement of Saudi Arabia leading up to the 9/11 attacks might emerge, and probably numerous other things that our government would like to remain hidden would remain hidden. And just like with the JFK assassination, well, we already know exactly how much our government values transparency, don't we, everyone? There are still documents related to the JFK assassination that were supposed to be released, but they never were, so we'll never know what happened. And so, if you're listening to this show, and if, like me, you find these talks for plea deals outrageous for any person even remotely associated with 9/11, please do what the 9/11 families have done and write to Joe Biden and tell him that. And whoever else you can, call local representatives, senators, I don't care. Post on Facebook, do whatever you have to do. People need to wake up. If you don't like this, you speak up about it today, as in right now. Don't let them do this. Support the 9/11 families who have every right to seek justice. And I know that 9/11 was more than 20 years ago. But remember, many of us promised to never forget. Well, here's me actually honoring that promise. I am here to remind you what happened that day. Here's a little clip that we're going to play for you about 9/11. So sit back and take a listen.
That
sounded like a plane crash.
Hey Beth, what is that? Something somebody hit the World Trade Center or the
it's a trade center.
The World Trade
Trade
Center.
Center.
Yeah. This just in, you
Matt
are looking
just mentioned
at
we have a breaking news
very
story to
disturbing
tell you about.
Live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we just have unconfirmed reports this morning
as we come on air, we have serious news of a major,
very tragic
incident. An incredible plane crash into the World Trade Center.
I just heard a loud boom. You did? Was it a plane? That's what I was thinking. It was a terrorist attack.
Immediately, there's speculation or cause for concern. This is the World Trade Center that was the center of a terrorist bombing
right.
some years ago. So the questions have to be asked, was this purely an accident or could this have been an intentional act? But either way, extensive damage.
What's this other jet doing?
What's this other jet doing?
Holy fuck!
Oh my god! Oh my god! Jesus fucking Christ!
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Looks like 6-7 floors were taken out. And there's more explosions right now. Hold on, people are running.
Wait, so hold on just a moment. We got an explosion inside.
The building's exploding right now. You got people running up the street.
Okay.
I'll tell you what's going on.
Right. Oh my God! Another plane has just hit. It hit another building. Flew right into the middle of it. Explosion! My God, it's right in the middle of the building.
Pick your reader up from under your seat. Open your book up to lesson 60 on page 153. Count of three, everyone should be on page 153.
Mom, another plane just crashed into the other World Trade Center. Another plane hit it. A jet, a jumbo jet. I'm so scared. I'm leaving.
No, don't Megan. You can't.
Bye. I love you.
Megan.
Mom, I'm in Carol. I'm getting the
Megan, please wait for me.
We do have some videotape.
Oh.
of the second plane, and you can see it there.
No. Where? I didn't see it. Here, oh, whoa. Oh,
my
We're under attack.
Going into a building.
And from our vantage point, yeah, clearly difficult to tell.
We're under attack.
What type of plane that is, but it's a horrific scene.
That's
and
all right, we've just been told also, Michael, sorry, the New York Stock Exchange is being evacuated, as is, I'm sure, much of Wall Street, if not all of it, as much as possible. But the New York Stock Exchange has suspended trading for the moment.
It's war.
Today, we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country.
David, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're looking at live pictures of the Pentagon where there is billowing smoke. Jim Mikliszewski just reported that he heard an explosion, and right now we're looking at an aerial view of the Pentagon.
There are reports that the Pentagon has been evacuated and the White House is being evacuated.
However, I'd be very, very cautious. All of the airports across the country have been shut down. All flights have been canceled for another 7 hours, which is about 5 o'clock Eastern time, and then we'll reignite there. We'll take a look what's going on after that. The probability of extension, as they call that, is high.
Take two and one. This is as close as we can get to the base of the World Trade Center. You can see the firemen assembled here, the police officers, FBI agents, and you can see the two towers. A huge explosion now, raining debris on all of us. We better get out of the way.
I hope I live. It's coming down on me. Here it comes. I'm getting behind a car.
Duck it! Anthony, you okay?
Yeah.
Mommy, please. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Watch out.
I'll tell you that I can't see that second tower, but there was a cascade of sparks and fire, and now this, it looks almost like a mushroom cloud explosion, this huge billowing smoke in the second tower. This was the second of the two towers hit.
Now this is what it looked like moments ago. My God.
Remains of a airplane crash over on Lambertsville Road, and probably had a terrorist bomb on board that blew up. Don't know anything more than that. That's what I heard on the scanner. I just saw the smoke come up, and the explosion shook the house clear over here, and we are, 15 miles from Lambertsville.
In Washington, there is a large fire at the Pentagon. The Pentagon has been evacuated. And there's, you can see, perhaps the second tower, the front tower, the top portion of which is collapsing. Good Lord. There are no words.
We have a report that a 747 is down in Pennsylvania, and that remains unconfirmed at this point, and so we will check on that.
Good evening. Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror. These acts of mass murder were intended to frighten our nation into chaos and retreat. But they have failed. Our country is strong. A great people has been moved to defend a great nation. The search is underway for those who are behind these evil acts. I've directed the full resources of our intelligence and law enforcement communities to find those responsible and to bring them to justice. We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them.
We'll hear all of us soon.
I lived in New York on 9/11, and I was living in Queens at the time, very close to the LIE. So I was, what, like 10 minutes away from the city. For whatever reason, I slept late that day. And my phone rang, and it was my sister. She was pretty hysterical. At the time, she lived out in Suffolk County, Long Island. And that means she was more than an hour away from me and an hour away from the city. She told me that we were under attack, that airplanes had flown into the Twin Towers, and that I had to wake up immediately and put on the news. Since I lived closer to the city, of course, she was very concerned about me and my daughter and the rest of our family. Naturally, I did wake up and put on the news, and it was just all so surreal. And pretty soon, from all of my windows and literally everywhere in my house, I could see a massive cloud of smoke rising in the distance. I'm sure that this was not even a tenth of what was visible for the people who actually lived in the city or were there. I mean, it must have been crazy for those guys. But anyway, it was still terrifying for me. My daughter was just a child at the time, and we were all scared to death that somehow the fumes were going to get into the house, and I didn't want her to breathe that in. Of course, as all of this was going on, many people thought of leaving the city or leaving Queens and heading out for the island because, of course, being far away from it all meant that you were safe. But understand that everything was being shut down and things were fluctuating and very fluid all over New York by the second, not even by the minute. People in the city had no way of even escaping the city. That day was sheer mayhem. So getting on the road in any direction was just really a very risky idea. And the best I could think of was to cover up all the ACs and shut all the windows in the house to prevent any of that smoke and fumes from getting inside. Naturally, there were some very panicked calls I made that day to friends and relatives who were living in Manhattan. They were physically okay, but they were scared to death. And, oh, well, that's what terrorism is about, isn't it? So, again, if anyone listening has forgotten, this is from Wikipedia. On September 11, 2001, at the World Trade Center in New York City, 2,753 people died, of whom 343 were firefighters. The death toll at the Pentagon was 183, and 40 individuals died outside of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. According to the BBC, citizens of 77 different countries were among the casualties that day. Thousands of people were also injured or later developed illnesses connected to the attacks, including firefighters who had worked in the toxic debris. Of course, those numbers cover the dead, the injured, and those with physical issues connected to the attack. But the number of people who were impacted in other ways, what are those numbers? You know what? We'll never know. Like my sister-in-law's brother. His name is Bobby. Bobby was in the city that day. I do believe that he worked there. And Bobby saw it all, including the people jumping out of the towers. And guess what? Bobby was never the same person after that. I have a film industry friend, and her name is Solange. And she does sound work on film. She's amazing, and she's even won an Emmy for her work on the HBO series John Adams. But she pretty much became my hero because she left everything behind when 9/11 happened. And she traveled to New York to Ground Zero, and she became an on-site volunteer. And when I had the pleasure of meeting her in person, she told me all about it. She documented everything that happened, what she did. It was amazing. I have to admit, because in spite of the fact that I was in New York when it happened, and then I continued to live in New York for several years after the attacks, I was never able, not even once, to go to what is now known as the Freedom Tower, or of course, Ground Zero, as they call it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't be there. Just preparing for this episode had reduced me to tears. I cannot imagine standing there where all of this death and destruction took place. I know damn well that it overwhelmed me. And I feel the same way until this day. I cannot do it. So people like Solange, who were able to be brave enough to just go up there and help the way she did, she's another hero. And there were many heroes made as a result of 9/11. I'm going to talk a little bit about our present time and the circus we're living in now and the way that our country has changed since 9/11. Especially with the left's persecution of Rudolph Giuliani. That really sickens me. Rudy Giuliani went above and beyond the call of duty on 9/11. Speaking as a New Yorker, this I will never forget. I will always admire and respect Rudy for the utterly outstanding leadership provided during such a dark period in our nation's history. So basically, once again, I'm just going to remind everyone to go ahead and speak up, speak out. If you don't like this, if you don't want Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and other people, you know, not having a death penalty or there being no trial, you know, it's up to you. But I just basically hope that everyone manages to do what they have to do to let their feelings be known to the proper people. The sooner the better. So thank you all. Everyone. I just wanted to let you know that I'm being joined now by Robert Shepherd, and Robert was a guest here a couple of times already, and since we have a very good back and forth with one another, I figured I'd bring him back again, and you will be seeing him more in the future, or hearing him more in the future, that's for sure. Anyway, hello, Robert. How are you?
Hello, Crystal. Well, thank you so much. I've looked forward to this after you recently contacted me.
Well, I'm happy that you're here, happy that you can join me. And, you know, given that we're so close to the anniversary of 9/11, and there were certain recent news events, which I had briefly mentioned to you, you know, about possible plea deals and all the rest of it with the 9/11 mastermind over at Gitmo, I decided that even though it's a little bit early, I was going to do an episode dedicated to 9/11 and all that happened. And I would love for you to be able to, since I already pretty much at the outset of the episode gave my opinion, my thoughts, and a lot of my feelings about what happened, you know, to bring in someone else's voice and have them talk about it as well. And so, you know, just go ahead and say whatever comes to mind on that subject.
Well, you know, Crystal, you know, this 9/11 was one of those seminal moments that you, I don't think anyone that was living during that time will ever forget. You know, it's The only other event that was close in my life was the assassination of JFK.
Yes.
And it's just one of those that you remember exactly where you were, what you were doing. It was so out of any kind of reference or experience that certainly the last couple of generations have ever had, that it was really hard to kind of grapple with. And when it first happened, you know, then it was bad enough. There was one airplane, and then all of a sudden there was a second airplane.
Yep.
And then, oh, by the way, the Pentagon has been hit.
That was
and,
crazy.
Oh, there was another aircraft went down in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think anyone knew how to deal with that. In fact, I think our leaders even probably struggled a bit.
Probably were baffled. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, I had read a book. I think the guy's name was Richard Clark. And he worked under Bill Clinton, because all the planning and stuff that had been going on was before Bush was in office on the part of the terrorists. And there was a lot of talk, you know, about taking out Osama bin Laden beforehand. And he just detailed all the ways that they botched it. And the same, so it's not only, you can't blame just one party here, because you had Clinton dropping the ball, and then you had Bush's people come in and do the same thing. You know, it was just unbelievable, unbelievable what I read. And he was very honest, unlike now. It wasn't, you know, partisan BS. He just told people what his experience was, what he knew, what he saw, what happened, who failed on both sides. So it was objective. So,
well, you know, I think the thing, Crystal, too, that, and you say it's not an excuse, because if we're part of the intelligence operation for our nation, we've got to be not only vigilant, but I think we've also got to be attuned to new ways in which we might be attacked. And I think that may have been the one thing that
that's what they
that
said
they had
failure
missed.
Of the imagination. Absolutely.
Yes, the idea of using an aircraft as a missile, if you will. I don't know that people had quite, you know, even come to think about that as an option.
Exactly. Well, you know what concerns me is that, you know, the world was very much a different place, at least America was, when this happened. And there was a lot more common sense that went on among the people, okay? And we didn't have all the noise that we have going on now. But what really kills me is when you look back at what happened and all the things we should have learned, and then compare and contrast today what's going on with our border. What are we letting in? What risk? I mean, didn't we make this mistake before already, and that's how it happened?
Yes. I'm afraid that today it's very, very easy for our security to be compromised. And, and I'm sorry to say that.
No, but that's absolutely accurate. And I think the only country who gets it right consistently is Israel.
Yes.
Yep. They are on it 24/7.
Yeah, they have. They've got to be vigilant. And the other thing too is that, you know, they incorporate so many of the people into the military too. You know, including women. You know, they are actually able to mobilize. No telling how many additional people that have had military experience in addition to their active duty military.
Well, I just think that they're, as a country, they understand that they are a target for terrorists, and they just, you know, don't let it go. And they understand that their people in their country are constantly a danger, and we should understand the same thing. We are no less of a target to terrorists than Israel.
And I think they also have understood that, and let their enemies know, if you hit us, we're not only going to hit you, but we're going to hit you harder.
Exactly.
And I think that is something that, unfortunately, I think we've been missing here for the last couple of years or so.
Yes, exactly. Well, I don't know. I think that, you know, with the Biden administration, there seems to be such a go ahead and do whatever you want to us and it's okay mentality. And it's very scary. And we've been actually, knock on wood, very lucky that more people haven't taken. I mean, we see what's going on with Russia, Ukraine, blah, blah, blah. And that's, you know, I'm not saying that that's good, but it's not here in our backyard. It could be.
Yes.
You know, so yes. I think that we've been very fortunate in that manner. But talk to me more about that day where you were on 9/11, you and your family.
At that particular point, I'd actually retired from the Army, and I was pursuing my acting career, but I was also working part-time at a private Christian school, mm-hmm. and we had met in a house basically that's part of Christopher Newport University, because we were going to be doing a Christmas presentation actually they had a barn facility, if you will, and so it worked great for, you know, telling the story of the birth of the child and all of that. So we were there for a meeting, and then just before I went into it, I heard initially about the first airplane, and then by the time I finished the meeting, then the whole story began to unfold, and then everyone just almost was frozen, you know, in what to do. And I know at my wife, who was principal at the Christian school, they actually pulled the television sets in into the office so that, you know, teachers could come and go and try to halfway keep up with this incredible but quickly developing story of what was happening to our nation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what about the reactions of the people around you? Tell me more about that.
You know, I actually think shock is about the best way. I don't remember anybody like becoming overly emotional, but there was a strange quietness, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, you know, and
it was jaw-dropping silence. Yeah.
Yes, it was part of that effort to try to grapple with what is really happening.
Yes.
And then your mind begins to wander. And of course, we live in Southern Virginia, where we have one of the largest naval bases, one of the largest Air Force bases as well, and a lot of other military. So I know all the people here, their mind had to go with, oh my goodness, are we going to be next, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, like I was saying, I lived in New York at the time, and I don't know that people understand. I'm not saying that people around the country, other places, didn't take it as seriously. But I will say that it was more intense, you know, for those of us who lived right there in New York. And I was 10 minutes away from the city. I mean, it was absolutely terrifying. And you just, you know, minute to minute, things were just constantly developing. And like you said, first there was, you know, the second plane hit, and then what happened at the Pentagon, and then what happened in Pennsylvania. And the president being, you know, up in the air for hours on end, we didn't know where he was for a little while, you know? And so it was just a really crazy day,
Yes, it certainly, that was probably the most fearful, you know, day that I have ever experienced. And I, for sure.
And what about for your wife?
I think it's the same thing. She was principal at the elementary, and they didn't stop school. They didn't, anytime, you know, anyone had a moment, they would come into the office and watch the television to try to get the latest of what's happening. And then the shock of one event right after the other was really, really difficult to just wrap your head around.
Mm-hmm. And so, back to this whole situation of what we have going on now. I don't know if you're aware of this, but they said that Joe Biden is going to be the first president that won't be visiting any of the sites where people died, meaning not Ground Zero, not Pentagon, not Pennsylvania, nothing.
Yeah, so how about Alaska? That would be a good place, right?
I just can't believe it. You know, how much more disregard and disrespect is going to go on for the American people.
Well, Crystal, it seems like that kind of demonstrates the fact that, you know, where he's going to be. Also, this effort going on with, you know, some of the prisoners in Guantanamo, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
that apparently might be negotiated to be released. Is that your understanding?
Yes, absolutely. No. That they would not have a trial and that they could do a guilty plea.
Okay, good. All right.
And then there's no death penalty, though, under those circumstances.
Okay, but not released. Although a few have been released back to their home countries.
Yes, but what they're saying with what's happening currently is that if they do this, I guess that they would plead guilty and not have a death penalty, but there would be no trial.
Of course, there's also been an effort to do away with Guantanamo, which I think would be unfortunate.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of unfortunate unfolding these days, unfortunately, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, and I just think that this administration has bent over backwards time and again, you know, to be very disrespectful towards the American citizens, our history, and also what has happened on 9/11, all the families. This is who I feel the most for right now. You know, hearing all this, I can't even imagine, had I lost a family member, that my country would even consider doing this. I mean, at least, at the very least, give them justice and let these people, you know, face the music for what they did. Why would they get the possibility? Okay, you don't have to die. You know, the people who died felt that terror, knowing they were trapped in the World Trade Center or trapped on those planes. They knew that they were going to die, you know? So why should these guys be up the hook and not feel the same?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, sort of along with that, I understand that a lot of the Gold Star families from the 13 that lost their lives in Afghanistan mm-hmm. have been very, very upset with the sort of, you know, patting themselves on the back of how well that turned out, because, you know, it was really a disaster.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. The way that they pulled out of Afghanistan was unbelievable. And then all the equipment and everything that was left there is just unbelievable. You basically armed the enemy. Mm-hmm. You gave them everything that they would possibly need to come and harm us.
And billions of dollars, you know, not just millions, but I've heard it's in the billions.
I believe that, absolutely. Yeah. And they even went around, you know, taking pictures of themselves using our stuff. It's like, great. Go ahead, give them the top-notch stuff. You know, they really need mm-hmm. it. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
and let's let the Taliban provide security around the airport.
Yeah, exactly. That was just a nightmare. And then, of course, all they did was blame Trump. You know, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think has been going on with all these charges and everything that's been happening with Donald Trump?
You know, it is so much that it almost loses the impact of it, because it's just one right after the other, and it just seems totally unreal. I don't know that people are taking it maybe as serious as possibly that they should, because it's just almost surreal of how that there could be so many ganging up on him at the very same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Look, I mean, there's no way to speculate as to where this ends and what happens. How, you know, what would this do in terms of the election? What happens? How do people react? You know, if he does end up in jail or God only knows what. And I think that the more that you see, the more that you realize that what happened in 2020 is not going to be an isolated incident. You know, we're going to have another problem in this election, meaning we're not going to get a legit outcome. There's going to be, you know, they complain about election interference and they talk about January 6th. And meanwhile, what they're doing is just another version of it to impact this election and get Trump out of the way. So I don't know. I think it's a lot of chaos up ahead, unfortunately. I mean, I hope not, but I don't see how this gets resolved peacefully or fairly at the very least.
Well, I'm hoping that we won't have the same COVID issue that we had going on.
Oh,
because
you're bringing up
they really took advantage of that, Crystal. You know, handing out ballots, just mailing them out, you know, to everyone, or dropping them off at the front of an apartment building, or, you know, there was all kinds of crazy things, and they kind of used the guise of, oh, well, it's COVID, so we've got to make sure everybody gets to vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are, I don't know if you've heard, but they are trying to already talk about something else, that we're going to have another COVID problem. And there have been, you know, certain pockets like trying to bring back the mask. And so everybody's saying, okay, the shutdowns are coming back. And they're going to be trying to do this all again. I don't know if you've heard anything about it, but I don't like it.
I have, Crystal, I don't think it's going to work. I think the American people...
Oh, I hope not.
Have been through that, and I think they're going to be recognize it for what it is. You're always going to have a few. You know, I don't mean to be critical. Everybody has to do what they want to, but occasionally, mm-hmm. or feel bad. But once in a while, I'll see someone taking a walk outside with nobody around them, and they're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
I think I don't think I get that. You know, mm-hmm.
No, I understand. And neither do I. I mean, look, if you're in a place, even nowadays, where it's really crowded and you, for whatever reason, are still, you know, had all that fear instilled in you and you still feel afraid, well, then, you know what? Go ahead and wear your mask.
Sure.
But when you're by yourself and there's nobody there, you know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, and if you know, some people have really an immune system problem, and that all makes sense. You want to be as careful as you possibly can. But I think the bulk of the American people now have kind of moved on from that. And my feeling is it's going to be difficult to ever quite replicate what we went through back in 2020. At least
I sure hope so. I sure hope so, because I would not want to see them trying that again. I mean, I live in a state where I don't think that would matter anyway. But of course, there's going to be people all around the country that may be having to deal with the shutdowns again, or, you know, new vaccine mandates and all this other nonsense. And I don't think that it's right. So I'm hoping that we don't have that, you know, come on again and all that stuff.
I truly do as well.
Yeah. And so, basically, I also wanted to ask you something that's kind of not connected to all this stuff, but about Joe Biden and that corruption and all that stuff with his son, Hunter Biden. Something that isn't not discussed enough by the GOP or really by anyone is, you know, when Joe Biden was doing this and his son, allegedly, this was when he was vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So does that not indicate or implicate Barack Obama?
Well, I can't believe that they were not aware of that. Because from what I have seen, they really didn't do a very good job of trying to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, when he went over and said, hey, if you don't, I'm not going to give you the $1 billion if you don't get rid of that prosecutor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was a public statement.
Yeah.
You know. So there had to be, and I have heard there were other people within the administration that alarms were going off. And I don't know how far it went up to you know, to the president. I have no way of knowing, but it's hard for me to imagine when your number two guy is involved in those kinds of questionable, to say the least,
absolutely,
that people weren't making him aware of that. And maybe, Crystal, that was why, if you remember, he didn't really endorse President Biden during the primary campaign.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, oh no, I don't know that it's that. I think that whatever happened, if I were to have to give my two cents of how I see it, of course, we have no proof of this, just what's been reported, what's on the surface. It would look like Joe Biden was doing dirty work along with his son, and Barack Obama was in on it, and lots of other people, because there was a tremendous amount of money being sent. Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, I'm sure, didn't keep all of it. Okay. And so Barack Obama was involved. Other people high up in the government were involved. And they were all splitting and sharing the money. That has to be what happened. I mean, it really, really, really looks that way. And so they can say and do whatever they want to Donald Trump if they have suspicions that he did this or he did this. And these things have been litigated in the case of Donald Trump. Okay, he was impeached. He has all these trials going on. Okay. When and where are we going to see the same scope of investigating and examining against Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and Hunter Biden, and whoever else was involved in the Obama administration? Because this is when it occurred. And factor this in. Remember what his wife said when he was running for president. She had never been proud of this country. And so they always had or came up with this attitude is that they wanted to stick it to America. And my feeling is that once they got in, that was absolutely what they did.
I was going to say, you know, everyone wants to make Richard Nixon the most corrupt president, you know, ever. But, you know, when his vice president, Spiro Agnew, got caught up in wrongdoing, he was removed from office. Under Nixon. And hence we got Gerald Ford. But, you know, that was an example of a president and the legal system that that took action. And it seems to be a far cry from what potentially has happened more recently.
Well, I only know that Barack Obama had two terms, and this gave him plenty of time. And I think all the damage done was during this whole 8-year period. And this is why I think the problems we're seeing today are so deeply entrenched in our government and so widespread, because they were given loads of time and money from other countries to go ahead and do whatever damage they felt like doing. And it has been done. There is no denying. And so I don't know. I don't know how it gets fixed. I don't know how we hit the reset button and get back to where we were, where once upon a time, at least the American people were able to believe that our representatives were there representing us, the people, protecting the people, protecting the country. As of now, we know that they're not.
Yes. Well,
if anything, they could care less.
Well, that one of the things too, and I think President Trump did an awful lot of good things, but I don't even think he was fully aware how embedded this opposition group was in almost all in the intelligence community, in the FBI, in the CIA, and what would have really have been great, and perhaps if he has an opportunity again, he will do that. To ask for resignation of everyone
absolutely
as deep as it can go, you know?
Well, I think that that's what they're afraid of, and this is why they're trying so hard, you know, to keep him out of office, because they know that, you know, their comeuppance, or, you know, the day when they're going to have to face the music for all that they've done is a hell of a lot closer if Trump gets in. And if he doesn't, and they're able to stick Biden in there again, or whoever else that they're going to, you know, put up there, that's not going to prosecute them. They're just going to get away with it. And this is what they're trying to do. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how it is that we're able to empower ourselves to get back, you know, the kind of representation where we feel that there's some morals and some ethics where people are actually honoring, you know, their commitments.
As you know, the day used to be when there was the sort of citizen politician who felt like that, okay, I want to do this, and they would go in and they might be serve a little while in the Senate, then they might go back home and other things. But now we have a class that, you know, if they can get elected from right out of college, and then they just move from one job to the other.
Yes, well, look at what's going on with Mitch McConnell. Have you seen that?
Yeah,
have you seen where he froze up again?
I have.
And it's just like, okay, this man is, what, 81 years old, I believe they said?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, and how many years has he been in office? And what is going on, and why is it, why in a very modern, sophisticated country, we don't have things in place to stop this from happening?
Yes.
Joe Biden is not well. Then you had the other guy, Fetterman. He has problems. And now you have Mitch McConnell. We had incidents with Dianne Feinstein. I mean, can we have a cutoff here when people are cognitively not able or have some health issues or some cognitive decline that they're not, it just, they can't serve anymore?
All right. Well, as a minimum, I believe Senator McConnell should step down as the leader. If he wants to hold a seat, you know, that might be one thing. But, you know, I really think it's time that it should be turned over, because that's not a good look.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. And it is just out of, you know, common sense. He's up in his age. He's done what he had to do. God knows he's made enough money. And truth be told, I'm not a fan of his. He has not, you know, sided where he needs to, considering the party he's in and the role that he's in. And we'd be better off without him, quite frankly. And it's in his best interest, too, to just step aside. And like you said, even if he still has his place there, but someone else has to fill his role and his position. And I really hope that they get on this and this time do something about it, rather than talk it to death and just have the same thing unfolding week after week.
Well, and I think that also speaks to, you know, what is going on with the senators. Because, again, when you go back to Nixon, when it really dawned on people like Barry Goldwater and other people, the depth of where, you know, the trouble that Nixon was in, they went to the White House and confronted it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So where is that happening today? You know,
it's not. There's, you know, they talk about it. And I've heard some people come on television and basically say, you know, what you said, okay, yes, keep him in there, but have somebody else kind of handle the actual day to day work duties. And that, even that's fine. But it just, you know, it just needs, something needs to be done, because we're seeing too much of this. And like you said, they come out of college and they're going to be there their entire lifetime. Joe Biden has been in office, what, 50 years?
Yes.
Really? That's ridiculous. You know, it's meant to be, you know, more limited than that. And this is, I think, where all the problems are coming from, is we need to have fresh blood coming in every so often.
Well, you know, term limits kind of shows its head every once in a while, but they don't seem to be working too fast to get that put in place.
No, and I remember even way back in the day, I was much younger, and they would talk about this. And that's my point, is that these things are discussed, but nothing has been implemented. And, you know, term limits, term limits, really? Because we still ain't got them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty bad. Anyway, I would like to say once again, thank you, Robert, so much for being here, for joining me today. And our hearts go out to the 9/11 families, and we hope that everybody takes some time to remember them and pray for them during what's going to be a very difficult time, because I don't care how many years pass, it's still going to be just as upsetting to all of them, just like it is for all of us. And thanks again to all of our sponsors, and we will see you all next week.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon, Robert. Thank you. Bye-bye.
America First Tactical is dedicated in offering you the very best safety, security, and self-defense products available today. In recent years, crime rates, increases in assault, robbery, and the defunding of the police have become a major concern for law-abiding citizens. The police can no longer respond, and you are responsible for you and your loved ones who may depend on you for safety. That's where we come in with Tactical Products for Less. We have tasers, stun guns, self-defense keychains, pepper spray, batons, auto safety, knives, handcuffs, tactical bodywear, firearm holsters, and a whole lot more. For operator assistance, use promo code CRYSTAL for 10% off. Call 1-800-960-2015. That's 1-800-960-2015. America First Tactical. Peaceful Pond Place, making life a little sweeter. Simply go to pppsweets.com and enter in to our world of the sweetest of sweets and the finest of chocolates. Can't make up your mind? Give us a call at 360-584-0548. That's 360-584-0548. Life, Liberty, and Coffee. Liberty Beans Coffee Company. At Liberty Beans Coffee Company, there's an old proverb that we like to live by. It says, never underestimate the importance of being properly caffeinated. Here at Liberty Beans Coffee Company, not only do we believe in freedom and the American way, Jim and Diane invite you to check out their family-owned unlimited selection of delicious and delectable coffee beans that are crafted right here in the good old U.S. of A. Not only is this the richest, most genuine cup of coffee, perhaps after you drink it, you will check out their website at www.libertybeans.com and join by partnering up with Jim and Diane to help you with either you or your favorite group's personally created fundraiser. Liberty Beans Coffee Company, life, liberty, and coffee. Just drink it all in.